Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They have been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. I'm really excited to welcome back one of my favorite people, photographer Ian Sitchin. And we're going to be talking about the Palm Springs Air Museum, because he's the official photographer, and whatever else comes into our minds. Hi, welcome to the show. I love you.
You're much too kind. I'm very excited to be back. It's always fun with you.
Thank you. It's always fun with you, too. Oh,
Thank you. You've
been busy. You get to do something that every person who loves aircraft dreams. You've been going on these amazing jets and flying all over the place. That is super cool.
Thank you, and I'm not going to disagree. I'm living a little boy's dream, which was my little boy's dream too, when I used to build little model airplanes when I was 9 years old and hang them in the ceiling from my room, as many little boys did. And now I get to play with those, with the real airplanes of those, with the World War II fighter planes and bombers and cargo aircraft and trainer jets. And just this past weekend, I flew I flew 45 minutes in a Vietnam era Cobra attack helicopter. So that was Sunday. Yeah. So that was really cool.
It's little girls, too. I just want to make sure you know that. not just little boys.
Yes, indeed. I think we've kind of touched on this before. My photography in itself is great fun. I love taking photographs, and now I do more videos as well. But I've always used my photography as kind of a medium to take me on fun adventures. And certainly all of this aviation work now is a great big fun adventure. And allows me to do all of these things and also to meet, you know, really interesting and great people.
So you work for the Air Museum, Palm Springs Air Museum, but you go to the air shows all over the country, right?
Not all over the country, no. With the Air Museum, we do go to air shows because we're participants in them. We bring our aircraft out and have them on static display or sometimes flying display. So I typically go along for two purposes. Number one, to create photographs and video promoting the museum. And as well, I also go along as flight crew on the various aircraft. So I've got kind of a double position. The photography took me into being part of flight crew because the best way of creating, you know, the photography and video is actually being in the aircraft, and especially when you're promoting a lot of things that we do promote. So I do go to air shows, and in Palm Springs, of course, it's very hot in the summer, but during our regular flying season, I participate in a lot of the flying and flight programs over the weekends that we do.
That's really cool. I was just thinking, I was watching a tribute recently to Billy Wilder, and he did that. He went on, he was on a lot of the planes during World War II because he was doing, it's not documentary.
Yeah, they were the...
What do you call it during war when you show films to show what the enemy is? Propaganda.
Yeah, the word is escape. Yeah, propaganda is probably not the word we'd want to use. But they, John Ford, I think, was doing
that
as well. There were, and it was to get the folks at home to see what it was like and get them excited and being behind the war effort and all of that. So they created those newsreels. They're longer than newsreels. Some of them were an hour long, of what it was like to actually fly along with the aircraft and with the flyers and the troops and the fighters and the bombers.
My mom and dad told us when they were kids and they went to the movies, they were there all day because they have the film, the newsreel, and then they'd have the cartoon, and then they have a short, and then they would have the feature, and then they would have people from the feature actors do a performance, whatever kind of a performance, and then they'd start all over again. And my mom said that when she was a little girl in Rhode Island, they all came there and did the performance stuff. And she and her girlfriend would take a picnic lunch and sit and watch it all day. And she said
Lewis
and Dean Martin recognized them because they'd been there in the same seats all day. And they started saying, no, since you're here, you're going to have to share your lunch.
And I'm sure back then it was probably a nickel to do that. And now that I think of saying that it was a nickel, I'm thinking there's probably part of our audience now that probably, you know, maybe younger people in their 20s or even younger at this point in time probably don't know what a nickel is. They don't use them.
A nickel.
Yeah. But yeah, now I get to play in those airplanes and shoot them from the outside as they go by, or shoot from air to air, ground to air, and then from the air, as we're flying, and it's really cool. And I'm doing more video now. The video is very exciting for people. I also run all the social media for the Air Museum, both the primarily Facebook is our primary platform, but also Instagram and Twitter, and all of that, all the photographs and video are used again to keep our audience interested and to promote the facility. CNN calls it one of the best air museums in the world. So I'm pretty excited to be a part of it.
Now, this is going to sound like a girl, but I can't help it. Do you ever get scared when you go on those jets? Because they go super, incredibly high and fast.
not to sound brave or anything, but no. I just don't have that genetic makeup, I guess. I just kind of go. Don't really think about it. Of course, now I've done it. I've probably done in the last year a couple hundred flights, so it's like just pretty much normal. But no, I really don't. More often than not, I'm more concerned about physically getting in these aircraft because, most of them were made for back in the World War II era where the average person was, average guy was 5'6 or 5'7, weighed 130 pounds. And I don't quite fit those parameters. And the average person was probably 22 years old, and I'm past three times that. So my biggest fear is physically getting in and not making a fool of myself.
And making sure your head isn't hitting the top, right?
Well, that happens on a regular basis. I do have my caps always have a certain amount of blood on them unless I'm wearing a flight helmet.
Ow. Ow.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really a corny question, but could you explain how this came about and what was it like the first time you went on one of the aircraft?
Well, I'll back up somewhat. Somewhere around 1970, I don't remember the exact years, I did have an interest in flying, and I did take flying lessons, and I did solo. I never completed my license because back then, like as most young people, I ran out of money and just couldn't finish. So I had lots of flying time in Cessnas because also along the way over the years I had met other people who had pilot's licenses, and we would rent aircraft together and go fly, and had a buddy that had access to an aircraft, a Cessna, that we could fly all the time for just fuel. and we would sometimes fly two or three times a week. So I already had been doing a lot of flying. So that was not that unfamiliar with me. Certainly getting into a World War II aircraft like the P-51 Mustang is considerably different than a Cessna. So that was kind of exciting, of course, and, you know, kind of interesting to see what was going to happen. But the way it all came about is when I moved to Palm Springs, I'm only 3 miles from the Air Museum, so I would be going out there on the weekends, taking my bigger camera equipment with me, shooting photos, happened to meet the director of the museum. He happened to see my photos, and he said, boy, you know, maybe we could start using you and using your photos and so forth. And one thing led to another. And it especially took off when he asked me to take over their social media a few years ago, about 2.5 years ago. And social media requires a lot of content. You're pretty much putting something up every day. And so I was creating all the content for that social media, and then it just pretty much expanded. So that's how I got.
Ian?
Yes.
Oh, I lost you. Could you repeat whatever you said at the end? Because I didn't hear it.
I'm sorry. Well, did you catch the part where I started going out to the Air Museum because I was only 3 miles away?
Yeah, the part where you were going to the Air Museums and they wanted you to take the pictures
cut off. Yeah. Sure, I don't know why. I was shooting photographs. The director of the museum saw what I was doing and asked to start using my photographs. And then he asked me ultimately to take over the museum's social media. And social media requires a lot of content. So I was doing a lot more shooting, and then that led to being more creative about shooting and more flying and on and on and on. So the involvement just started from there and just kept building.
Do you, when you're going on these things, and you know what you're going to be shooting, do you plot what you're going to do, or do you just go, you know, see what happens and you take pictures?
Well, it's a combination. I know ahead of time what I want to capture because I'm doing it for a purpose. I want to interest the viewer. I want to get the viewer excited. So I want to capture those photos or that video that's going to impart a sense of the excitement that I'm experiencing. So that's one part. And then you're also just, you know, being aware of what's going on around you and looking for something else exciting. By example, on Sunday, I flew in the Cobra attack helicopter, and we were flying with a Ventura County Fire Department helicopter for demonstration at this air show, and the county fire department helicopter swooped down over this pool over this small lake to take on a load of water, you know, that they drop on fires. So that was all, you know, it's something I had not expected. So that made for a really interesting video. And luckily I was, you know, I was ready to capture it and get some really great footage. It was a lot of fun. So, and it's like something that the average person doesn't get to see, you know, seeing a fire department helicopter, you know, flying alongside and then swooping down and taking on a load of water and then taking off again. So it's pretty exciting. So it's a combination of both. Usually ahead of time, I do have a purpose in mind. I don't, you know, I love to fly. I love to do this, but I'm trying to do it for a purpose for the benefit of the museum.
What is the, do they have like a, what they like when you take the pictures? I mean, do they have like a criteria for you? Or is it sort of like up to you to decide what you're going to do and what you're not?
I'm pretty much self-operating, shall we say. A department of one.
Department of
and I, Yeah, Department of One. And I think it's because I've just done so well with it to start out that they, you know, I've met all of their expectations. Sometimes Mike Nightingale, who's our chief pilot, he did a lot of photography also himself. And sometimes, and he has a real good sense of aviation photography. So sometimes he and I will sit down together and try to plan things out. Gee, we'd like to get this. We'd like to do that. And we come up with some really good stuff. So, yeah, in that regard, we will brainstorm. But for the most part, it's pretty much left up to me because I've been successful with it for them so far.
Now, this is going to be because I write stories, maybe, but
yes.
When you're taking the pictures, is there, like, because you said aviation is like taking a photo is like a taking a story, you know, making a story.
Mm.
How do you create that when you're doing it? I mean, do you see it as you're doing it? Does it pop into your head, or do you have it like the boards that they do in movies, like you have a board of what your storyboard of what you're going to take? I mean, how does it work?
On the more intricate shoots, we did one. We did some really much more intricate shooting over July 4th weekend, and that's a little bit more planned out. And there we had not only myself in the back seat of our T-33 jet, which I think is one of the photos that you have up on the Facebook page and on your Chatting with Sherry page. On that shoot. So I was shooting from there. Then we had another chase aircraft with a cinema camera system shooting us. And then we also had three other aircraft with us that we were shooting from the Air Museum. So that was a little bit more intricate and more involved. And so that was much more planned out. If it's just me going up in the aircraft, I just kind of have it in my mind. I'm thinking it through ahead of time. I've done it so many times at this point that I pretty much know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do and have a good idea what I'm going to capture. And then just keep my eyes open. You got to pay attention. Sometimes people say, gee, how did you get that? And the first thing I always say, well, the first rule of being able to get something like that is you have to be there. So if you're there, pay attention to it and shoot it. You know, worry about whether you need it or not later.
So what was the favorite story you took a picture of?
Oh my gosh. I think,
like,
you know,
right?
Yeah. You know, I don't know what it would be. It seems like every flight has its own new adventure. So that's kind of hard to say. And opening up the newer medium to photography, which is these video segments, has really made it, at least for me, a lot more fun. When I shifted over to shooting Fujifilm cameras, it really opened up the world because now I was able to look through the viewfinder to shoot video, whereas before you had to kind of hold the camera off in a distance and try to look at that screen on the back, which in an aircraft is almost impossible to do. So now with the Fujifilm cameras, especially their new X series cameras, you know, you're looking through the viewfinder and can switch from stills to video very readily, and you're shooting full, 4K high definition video, and it's absolutely fabulous. So it's really made it all pretty much, very fun and gives you a lot of opportunity to do a lot of different things.
So much. It just seems really exciting. Just to go up on the plane like that. When you do these shoots, especially when you do the video shoots, is it like a new experience every time?
A little bit. You try not to get complacent. I mean, it can get a little matter of fact. or maybe it's just a point of sometimes I just get a chance to relax. We were flying back in the in our C-47 paratrooper cargo plane on Sunday from Camarillo, and I got to kick back some. Now there I was also the flight safety officer on the airplane, so I had double duties, and we had a few people on. We had our docents and stuff on board, and cargo from going to the show. So I had lots to pay attention to, but it was an incredibly smooth flight. It was incredibly clear out. We could see to Catalina. We could see downtown LA as clear as could be. So I got to kick back and not actually shoot photos or video and just enjoy the flight. So sometimes, you know, I will get a little laid back and just take it in a little bit. And I will admit to once being in the back seat of our P-51 Mustang and actually almost falling asleep and saying to myself, we were going off to another air show, and saying to myself, are you crazy? Do you realize what you're doing and you're falling asleep? You know, everybody else would be like, oh my God, this is such an opportunity. But I've just happened to do it a lot of times since I got really comfortable.
I can't believe anybody could fall asleep on a plane like that.
I know. Well, shortly I'll be going up to the Reno Air Races. We'll be racing at the Reno Air Races again, and I'll be flying up and back in a P-51 Mustang. And I'll be flying actually out of Chino instead of Palm Springs, but that's about an hour and 40 minutes. So it gets a little tiresome, but I managed to stay awake. But you do get kind of just comfortable. You get kind of, you're sitting in a parachute and your flight helmet on, and you just kind of wedged in there in the back, and you can just kind of get comfortable just kind of taking in the view.
So, I mean, the view from an airplane, a regular jet, when you're flying as a passenger is really beautiful. What's the difference when you're flying on something like that, a military? I mean, is it higher? Is it broader? What's the difference?
Well, I think that the one thing that you feel is, you know, you're in a very cramped space for openers. There's a lot more going on around you. Noise level, of course, is entirely different. So you have your headset or your helmet on, and you've got a pounding of an engine or the whooshing of a jet that's quite loud. And removing your headset will tell you that very quickly. And you have a much more of a sensation of movement and speed. And of course, then we'll, you know, turns and so forth. You can have a lot more fun. Or occasionally, we might do some aerobatics, and so you get that feel to it. Also, there's a huge sense of history. You know, if you're flying in a P-51 Mustang, which is one of the most revered and respected of all fighter aircraft that was ever built, and it was the aircraft of the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, the Red Tails. You know, you're flying history. You know, when you're flying in the C-47, paratrooper plane, that's the aircraft that dropped the troops behind the lines on D-Day. That's the aircraft that flew all of the supplies and medicine and food over to East Germany during the, you know, Berlin airlift. So it's a different feel. You're flying history. It's a pretty weighty thing to think about when you're actually doing it.
Yeah, that was more like what I was wanting.
Well, you got it.
You met some heroes. Could you tell a little bit about that?
Well, you know, one of my favorites, and it's very recent, is Lieutenant Colonel Robert Friend. Bob Friend, who just passed away on June 21st. He was 99 years old, and I've known him for a few years now. He was part of our air museum. Our P-51 Mustang was in the livery of the aircraft that he flew as a Tuskegee Airman in World War II primarily over Italy, and it's one of the Red Tails. And so he's been with us for a number of years. And he would come out to air shows with us and come out to the air museum. And when the airplane got rebuilt, he actually flew in it when he was 95. We got him in the back seat. A brilliant man, very sweet, an amazing smile. Just nothing but good to say about this man. I think he flew 142 combat missions during World War II. He had to bail out twice over Italy, had some amazing stories to tell. And then he was also went on to be the head of Project Blue Book, which was the Air Force's search for extraterrestrials in the 50s and 60s and 70s, I guess, to whatever they ended that. Anyway, he passed away, and we had his memorial service at the Air Museum, which was a huge event. It was attended by, you know, 1,000 people or so. And even the Air Force sent F-16 Red Tail fighter jets from Alabama, from the Alabama Air National Guard, out to do flybys for his memorial service. So yes, I've got to meet some great people, and he is way at the top of it. And we always love the Colonel.
That's really nice. And how many, they had a flyby, are there many people from his unit that's still alive? I don't think so, is there?
No, there's probably, of the original Tuskegee Airmen, there's probably only 12 at the most still out there. We had, three, four that were at the service, one of whom was his brother-in-law, Colonel Harry Stewart. And then a couple of other guys. So no, they're almost no longer with us. So it's part of life, but it's passing history. So I'm very lucky that another place where my photography got to take me was being a part of that and getting to meet guys like Colonel Friend.
I knew about him, but I didn't know he was part of Project Blue Book. He must have had some interesting tales to tell.
He actually, I guess, still couldn't talk about most of it. So, we really didn't hear too much. But we certainly heard a lot of his World War II exploits.
That's cool too.
Yes, very much so.
I thought with the opening up that they've been doing about that stuff, about extra UFOs and stuff. There's been a lot of movement in that, and maybe he passed away before that started happening.
Yeah, I don't know. We were hoping that he would make it to the Reno Air Races with us this year, but it was his time.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Sounds like he was a lovely man.
He was, truly, without question.
And he was a
very infectious smile. And my photography took me to a point where the main photo, which I think you also have up of him saluting, was a photo I shot of him at the Reno Air Races in 2017. It's a very happenstance photo. I happened to be right there next to him. Saw him bring his hand up and salute, and I shot that photo, and that was the main photo at his memorial service. So again, another place where my photography took me somewhere special.
That's quite an honor for somebody like him. That's really cool. For someone like him. I mean, because he was a great hero, and you have the photo that they had at his memorial service. Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty blown away by that. It's one of those things I will never forget.
It's a beautiful picture. Yeah, I mean, like you said, he has the most beautiful smile.
Well, his daughter, Karen, is a very sweet woman, told me that was her favorite photo. So that's the one she wanted as his main photo at the memorial service. Because she has tens of thousands of photos of this man. Because he's been photographed with every VIP event that you could possibly imagine across the globe. And so I'm truly honored that they selected my photo.
Well, You're going to the, is that the next one, the Reno Air Race?
Yep, Reno Air Races. We'll be flying out, I think it's the 6th. And the last day of the races, the finals are the 15th, and I'll be back after that. So it's the most prestigious air race in the world.
Is there, can people come and say hi to you if they're there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, you'll have to get a pit pass, which you can do. People buy tickets, and then you can also buy a pit pass for extra money. And I'll be in the pits with our crew. We're racing our P-51 Mustang Bunny. We're racing our P-63 King Cobra, which is called Pretty Polly. And we're also taking up our T-33 jet. So that's where I will be, and also shooting photos and working as crew on the airplanes. So, yeah, no, I'd love to see anybody and everybody. And we'll have our store there so you can get T-shirts and all kinds of good stuff.
And what's the website for the museum? Do they have one?
Oh, that's real simple. Just, yeah, palmspringsairmuseum.org. And especially go to the Facebook page. Just look at Palm Springs Air Museum because I run the Facebook page. And I keep that up, really up to date. And I'll be updating the event schedule shortly for all through next year so you can see all the good things that are going on out there. And you'll see me there pretty much every Saturday and Sunday, you know, for sure, because that's when we do all our flying. And there's
and
all kinds of flight programs.
And what is your handle on Facebook, on Instagram, on any of those pages,
well,
so if anybody wants to say hi
yeah,
to you,
well,
they
for,
can.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, for the Palm Springs Air Museum, just, of course, Palm Springs Air Museum. And they can find it on any of the social media. And myself, it's just under my name. It's either under Ian Citron or Ian L. Citron. You can find me quite readily. I'm easy to find. You can just put my name into Google and you'll find me. Yeah, just Google me, Ian Citron. And you'll find my own website, my own social media, my own blogs, and all of that stuff.
I want to thank you for coming on. I always love talking to you, and this was cool. It's one of my things that I love is anything about airplanes and the history. So you gave us both. So it was cool. Thank you.
Well, as I always say, you're very kind, and this went really fast.
Yeah, it did. It was like a really fast half hour. It always is fast. I don't know why.
Because of you.
Aww, no, it's a conversation. But thank you for taking the time to come on my show. I really appreciate it.
It's all good. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry. ¶¶